church this
week. All right. Thank you, Peter. I feel like a yee-haw moment. Jeremiah what? Oh, I did. I am sorry. It's same thing. Father, Son. So good to be back. Got a video for you. Get things warmed up a little bit there.
I've been coming to Oceans United for a while now. How can I plug in?
It has always been my dream to get connected at Oceans United.
Mine too!
Growth Track is for you.
All right, Growth Track has already started. We started Growth Track last week, and show the Growth Track a picture first. We'll save that for towards the end. It won't leave. All right, here we go. Grow Track, we started last Monday. It's not too late. If you missed the first one, not too late to actually join us. This coming up tomorrow at 6, and we have food, right? We do have food, right, Lori? Yeah, we do have food. Of course we're going to have food. What's a fellowship or any kind of study without some kind of grub? You know, we've got to eat. So it's perfect time. So we're going to have childcare provided, so bring your kids. We'll take care of them for you while you sit there. We sit in a circle. The layout is we sit in a circle and we interact with one another. That is the best way to get plugged in into the church. You get to know about the church. You get to know the family of the church. That would include you and me. I'm involved, so I'll come and I hang out with you and we can, you know, we can fellowship together. I'll get to know you a little bit. That would be one way for you to get involved in the church. I hear many people that will come to us and say, we want to get involved. We want to serve. That's where you start. You start with Growth Track and we'll get you plugged in wherever we feel or you feel God is putting you in. Amen. All right, next one. I don't even know. See, I'm not always the one that does that. Tithes and offering, you know, it's in the back and you can do it online. You can do it through text on your phone directly, or you can write a check and put it in the mail and send it directly to us. Thank you so much for your generosity. And this is the time and the season that we're giving out all the giving statements. So if we've missed you for one way or another, please let me know. And we'll make sure that you'll get your statement, your giving statement throughout the year. It's tax season coming up, so most of you will need that. All right, what else do we have? Sunday Night Light, amazing. This has been going really, really good. I think you ended up with 16 last Sunday. We meet right here with Jessica and Peter Olson. Amazing Bible study. Good way, again, to get plugged in and get to dig deeper into the Word of God, pray for one another. All these things, we're making those available for you. All right, what else do we got? Wednesday night at 6 p.m. on Facebook Live, I do a podcast. And you can sit at home and you can listen. Right now, we're going through a study of winning the war in your mind. And so a great way to get, again, interact online, which is great. We're able to connect, and you can put comments, and I can make fun of you. Or you can make fun of me, which a lot of time that happens. We can certainly fellowship, even if it is virtual. What else do we have? Kingdom Women coming up next Saturday. So all you women here, please come. It's going to be amazing. Another way to get plugged in and get connected. Remember, there's a theme here that we're trying to establish to get plugged in and get what? Connected. Exactly. Otherwise, you know, we don't get to know you. You'll come and you'll sit down for a service, but we won't get to know each other. And if we call ourselves a family, we got to know family, right? We got to know one another. All right, the next one is coming up Saturday, February the 19th, Evangelist Robert Solomon going to be with us. He's going to be our speaker for men's kingdom men and old men here. Raise your hand. All right. You need to be here. It's going to be amazing, a great way to get connected and a great way to get fed because we feed you great food. And you're going to hear this time on February the 19th, this amazing evangelist that was born in India. See a little resemblance there, you know, that's, you know, a little bit of my brother from the motherland. So we'll be interacting. I might be saying yes a little bit like that, you know, but you know, that can come. But he's an amazing, amazing speaker. I can't wait for you guys to hear him. He's also going to be with us on Sunday, the following Sunday, the 20th. And I invite you to come, bring friends, connect with people in the community and invite them to come to church. He can not only speak, but he can sing. All right, we got a little video there for you. This, if you close your eyes, you would think it's Josh Groban, right? So anyway, please come. He's got an amazing, amazing voice. He did the national anthem at an event in Anchorage a while back, and everybody thought he was lip-syncing the whole thing. That was him live singing the national anthem in that deep, deep voice. So anyway, I call him and I said, hey, brother, I call him brother now. See, we get a little bit AG or COG, call each other brother in Christ. And this is what I say, hey, how come you get this kind of voice? That's not normal for Indian people. Anyway, this is what he tells me. It's all in the curry. So anyway, who knows? All right, if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Hallelujah. We're going to start with chapter 6, verse 8 this morning. Can you put that picture? Are you available? I love that picture. Are you available? Are you available to God? Oh, I forgot to dismiss Tidal Wave. See, my wife is not here. And if you, Tidal Wave, you may be dismissed. You probably already left. They're already gone. Are you available to God? Now, there are many ways we can answer this question. Are you available to God? You might say depends on what God is asking. Are you available to God? You can answer it this way. Yes. Maybe. No. Oh, heck no. I mean, if we want to be very spiritual about it. I mean, being in church and all. We can actually respond in that way. Let me pray about it. Are you available to God? Now, here's the backstory to this message. Because last night, by 9 p.m., there was no message. I had nothing. This is where you, as a pastor, when you have to come and speak, you have, Jesus, please do something. You know, you're looking for a stuff to minister to you, and you're putting on a praise and worship music. You try to get in the mood for God to speak. 9 p.m., nothing. All I had was a little bit of a direction of a backstory. And the backstory goes, last Wednesday morning, I'm at the gym. And Lindsay's putting me through some stupid shoulder workout. I mean, there is such a thing as a stupid zone. The stupid zone is, a lot of people don't want to go there because really, it's all in the reps. So anyway, we're talking about reps. You can go beyond 100 in terms of everything. Leg press, whatever. Jessica, you know what I'm talking about, the stupid zone, right? Anyway, I'm sitting on my butt. I'm working on the shoulder stuff. I mean, I'm working out. I'm down there squatting, and I'm pulling this weight down. And as I'm doing that, this man walks up to me. And Lindsay's right there by my side. He's making sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, because we tend to get very distracted in this gym. There's a whole lot of storytelling, message prepping going on. So I'm sitting down there, and I'm pulling weights. And this guy walks up to me, and he said, "Pastor, can you please do our wedding on Saturday?" And guess what the next question was? Are you available? Now, I didn't even get a chance to breathe. And wonderful Lindsay right there responded, "Yes, you can." Didn't even respond to the question, which was, is he available? But yes, he can. Now, having said that, let's pray. I mean, pray for him. But I want you to do a prayer. A prayer. This morning, we're going to pray Isaiah 6:8. And we're going to do it a little bit differently this morning. Remember, I don't have a message. So you're going to have to work with me on that one, okay? So on the count of three, we're going to say this prayer together. Is that cool? Yeah. On the count of three, we're going to say this prayer together. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. Send me. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Well, congratulations. You've just now prayed the most dangerous prayer ever. And I believe, as a believer, this is truly, truly a very, very dangerous prayer. Here I am, Lord. Send me. You know why? Because just by saying that, you've just made yourself available to God. Just by saying that, I mean, you got suckered into this, right? But just by saying that, you have made yourself available to God. Now, some of you holy people here might be saying, "Well, Pastor, I've been in church all my life. I'm always available to God." Are you really? Are you? Are you really available to God? You see, being available to God means saying yes without knowing what he wants you to do. Being available to God means saying yes without knowing where he wants you to go, we are saying yes to God and being available to Him is saying yes to Him without knowing that you're qualified to do it. Many might be like, here I am, Lord, available. Send me anywhere but Kodiak. A while back, that was my prayer. That was me. I mean, 2014, I'm on the Tutsamina coming in. I mean, we're talking about 50-foot waves. Felt like it. I mean, wife is pregnant. We have four of the little kids, and all of them are sick. And guess what I said? Send me anywhere, God, but here. You know who else said that? Jonah. Send me anywhere, Lord, but Nineveh. Anywhere but there. Or some of us might be saying, here I am, Lord, available. Use me anywhere but in kids' church. Send someone else. Let that be somebody else's problem, not mine. Do you know who else said that? Don't look at your neighbor. It's not your neighbor. Send somebody else. Don't look at your neighbor. You know who else said that? Send somebody else. Moses. God, I can't speak. I'm not very good at speaking. Send my brother. Send Aaron. Let him do it. Isaiah 6:8 is really the most dangerous prayer that we can pray as a believer. Here I am, Lord, send me. Isaiah's life was given to God. Let me grab this there for a minute, giving you an idea of what Isaiah was actually saying. If Isaiah's life was a jar, guess what he did? He took the jar and he gave it to God. Do as you please. Messed up, broken, yes, but do whatever you will with this jar. This is my life. And I place that into your hands. That's what this prayer is all about, is you taking your life, your jar, and placing that into the hands of the master. And it is at the master's discretion to do whatever he pleases to do with it. Whether he would choose to actually use this jar for this function or send this jar somewhere else, that would be entirely up to the master. When we pray that prayer, here I am, Lord, send me. This is what we're saying. Lord, use me in any way you choose. Send me anywhere you choose. Fashion me in any way you choose. We're taking our life and we are placing our life into the hands of the master. By saying yes to God, that you are available, you are saying, Master, do as you please. My jaw is available to you. Messed up? Yes. Broken? Yes. But available to you. I'm certain that many of you here this morning are genuinely having this prayer. Are genuinely thinking about this. I am here, Lord. I am here. You send me. I am available to you. You do whatever you please with me. Now, this is a wonderful prayer. But how practical can we make this prayer? Because if we just say this prayer, here I am, Lord, use me, and we don't put a little bit of practicality to this prayer, there's nothing. It's just words that are coming out of our mouths. Like most of us, we did. We just repeated after me because the pastor said, just say this prayer. But what if you don't truly mean it? What if you truly mean it, but you don't know how? How do you get the ball rolling, God? How do I get the ball rolling? I want to be used by you. I want to get the ball rolling. I want to get the ball rolling on what the plans that you have for my life. I've got 3 steps for you. And if you're taking notes, you need to write this down. And if you're not taking notes, you also need to write this down because you're going to need it. You're going to need it. Number one is, it's on the app. I'm following my app. Thank God for that. That showed up at 12:30 last night or early hours in the morning. So I'm running on 5 Red Bulls right now. I don't know if you can tell. It's crazy. You know, when you don't know until your wife is gone how much she does. Amen. And by the way, today's her birthday. And she's taking care of like 15 kids in Anchorage and bringing them back here on the plane tonight at 6:30. So, well, happy birthday to her. But hey, guess what? I guess I got the better end of the deal because I'm only at home taking care of 2 kids. She's got 15 of them, you know, bringing them back from spending a whole weekend over there doing some crazy stuff. She sent me some video about them doing tubing. I mean, which is stuff that I don't do because, you know, it involves the outdoors. And anyway, I mean, number one is this. Seek an experience with God. Seek an experience with God. Being available to God always starts with you seeking an experience with Him. It's when you are truly desiring to know Him more. Where you truly desire to have an experience, an encounter with Him. And I'm not just talking about you being here on a Sunday morning. When you're hearing amazing worship and you get a little bit of a goosebumps right there and you're like, ooh, what is this? And you don't, I'm talking about something a little bit deeper than just that. An experience with God that changes your life. An experience, an encounter with God where you see Him for who He is in your life. That is what you need to seek after in order to be available to Him. Let's go back to Isaiah 6:1. Because 6:8 is really the final thing. But there is a lot of stuff that happened with Isaiah before we got to Isaiah 6:8. Here I am, Lord, send me. But in verse 1, it sets the tone for what leads to Isaiah 6:8. The first one is Him seeking the face of God. In verse 1, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Can we say that Isaiah had an encounter with God? An encounter, an experience with God where we went beyond the goosebumps. He had a spiritual encounter with God where he saw God. He saw God. He saw Him sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. The train of His robe filled the temple. Now that's beyond just goosebumps. This is Him having His spiritual eyes open and seeing God, for He is the great I am. He saw right there the Creator of heaven and earth. He saw Him sitting on His throne. Our availability with God starts with us having or desiring an encounter with God. For Moses, God showed up in a burning bush and revealed himself as Yahweh, the creator of all things. Now, that was his burning bush experience. But not all of us will have a burning bush experience. And God is certainly not limited to a burning bush to reveal himself to you. God will reveal himself to you through circumstances. God will reveal himself to you through your children. When they start speaking things and you're like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize this. Or sometimes they will keep you on your toes of whether or not you're really the genuine thing. That's a good reality check when you, because your kids, they have no filter that we have in terms of calling it as it is. We would want to be a little bit PC about it, but they don't even know the term. They would call it the way that they see it. If they see dad messing up, guess what they're going to say? Dad, that's not right. I mean, do your kids do that? My kids do that. Because they know that daddy's not always right. And that's good because they are seeing. They are seeing a nature being revealed. When you have an encounter with God, you see the nature, the identity of the Father being revealed to you. That is when you have an encounter with God. You start knowing him for who he is. Just like the name El Shaddai, you start knowing him for the God who sustains you. That is an encounter with him when he's revealed of who he is in your life. When he starts revealing himself as Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees ahead and makes provision. That is when you have an encounter with him, just like Abraham had an encounter with him. That is where God shapes you, transforms you, and sends you to wherever he wishes. Here's an advice for you. Don't wait for that burning bush experience. If you wait for that burning bush experience to follow God, to respond to his calling, you're going to wait for a long time. A very long time. The groom is coming. The groom is coming for his bride, and God is looking for a church that's going to be ready. He's not going to come and look for a church that is sleeping. He's going to be looking for a church that is going to be looking up to him. And that's where the response of desiring an encounter with God. Otherwise, it will be just beautiful songs that we sing in church. And if we settle for just that, we miss the divine encounter with God. We miss him for who he is. Then we don't move forward. Because we want to pray those carefully planned prayer. Where we got everything figured out. Where we've got everything planned. But God is beyond the plans because God cannot exist in a box. So God wants to do something miraculous that exists outside of the scope of your and my understanding. In fact, if it is not impossible, I tend to think twice. Is that truly God? Or is that just me because I know I can do it? But if it gets me into the realm where it stretches me beyond my natural ability, I know it's God. Because guess what? I cannot take any credit for it. Just like this message. Guess what? if it wasn't for the gym, for the that hour that we had in the gym on Wednesday, there would be no message this morning. God uses everything, every situation, every circumstances. You just have to be available. Are you available to do the wedding? Sure, we can. That's all it takes. It doesn't matter if you're available or not. Can you do it? God will make a way when you respond, yes, yes, sir. You decide. You tell me. The timing is in your hands. I can't say I'm not available. I'm surrounded by people who would help me. God has brought them on my path for a reason. And that is how we work as a community, to follow the lead, the prompting of God. Even as a church, we got to follow that prompting, because we're surrounded by a family of believers. As they believe in what God is doing, they buy into what the vision God is setting forward. Guess what? We move together as a family. And that's us responding with the experience that we have with God. Don't wait for that burning bush. It won't come. You won't have a burning bush experience like Moses did. If you do, or if you did, we might need to talk a little bit. Because I want to know how you did it. I want to know, I mean, maybe there's a point number whatever before I get to point number one that I might have missed. But seeking God is the number one thing that we all need to do. From the top down, from the pastor all the way down to everybody needs to seek God first. Seek Him for the experience of knowing who He is. Not for His blessings. Not for what He can do through His blessing to us. But just by knowing Him for a loving Father that will not hold any good things from His kids. And we are His children. He's not holding back on us. He only wants us to do is to just to draw to Him. To come close to Him. Just like it says in James 4:8. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. After you draw near, after you draw near to Him, you allow Him to see you. After you draw near to Him, you allow Him to see you. And that's my second point. How do you make yourself available to God? You allow Him to see you. And when I'm talking about the word see, I'm not talking about Him seeing you on the outside. I'm talking about Him seeing you, the real you. The real you when the lights are off. The real you when you're at home. The real you when nobody else is around. The real you. Not that He doesn't know the real you. But would you allow Him to see the real you? In other words, would you let Him in on the deepest parts of who you are? As a man, as a woman, as a child of God, would you allow Him to see the real you? Now going back to Isaiah chapter 6, after he had this experience with God, after he saw God sitting on the throne, he saw that. But after he saw that, guess what happened to him? In verse 5, he said, then I said, it's all over. This is Isaiah speaking. He saw the Lord sitting on the throne, and now he's seeing himself. He's seeing himself from the inside being revealed to God. And I believe Isaiah was okay with that. That God saw the real him. The real Isaiah. Would you allow God to see the real you? Would you allow God to see the real you? Because that's important in you being available for Him. God needs to see the real pastor. God needs to see the real Shannon as a pastor, as a father, as a husband. God needs to see the real one when no one is around. What goes on the pastor's phone? What goes on the pastor's computer? What goes on the pastor's TV? What goes on behind the scenes that nobody else knows? That is the real me. That is what God is looking for to be available to Him. He needs to know the real you. And that is important to God. This is how you make yourself available to God. And guess what? This is how you move forward. Without Him knowing you behind the scenes, you can't move forward. Because the enemy's got something on you. I want you to catch this here, because if the enemy's got something on you, you can't move forward. If the enemy can use something against you, he would always bring guilt and shame to you. And that will hold you back. God is looking for someone who say, here's the real me. I am broken, I'm messed up, but here I am, Lord, send me. That is what God is looking for. Now listen to the words of Isaiah. It's all over. I mean, he's responding to the presence of God. It's all over. I am doomed. For I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips. And I live among people with filthy lips. But listen to how he frames that last verse, or that last part of the verse. Yet he's acknowledging that he's a man of a sinful nature, filthy lips, and he lives among people who are filthy. But then he puts the word yet, a big word right there. I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. What Isaiah is realizing here is that he's unworthy. Unworthy to be in the presence of the King, because he messed up. He's messed up from the inside, and yet he's allowing God to see how messed up he is. He's not trying to hide, to play a game with God. He's trying to be real. He's recognizing, he's reflecting on his own righteousness. He's reflecting on himself, on his own righteousness. And now listen to this verse. He says, yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Now you might be wondering, because I certainly did myself, how can a man, a sinful man, with filthy lips, see the King? How can a man with that kind of baggage, that kind of darkness in him, being exposed to everyone, can say, I can now see the King? And here's the answer. When he stood that time, he stood in the presence of God. He did not stand on his own righteousness. Although he was reflecting on what he knew of himself, but when he stood and he saw the God sitting on the throne, he was standing on the righteousness of God. Because that's the only way we can have an encounter with him, is when we stand not on our accomplishment, not on the title that we bear, because guess what? Me as a title of a pastor cannot get me there. Oh, now, if I use my other title, if I use the title of a bishop, would that get me any further? Absolutely not. I am still the filthy man. It's not going to help my cause. And Isaiah, right there, the prophet of God of the time, is realizing this, that I am a man of sinful nature, filthy lips. I live among people who are filthy. Listen, friends. Without God, without His righteousness, you are filthy. You are sinful. You are despicable. Nothing good is going to happen. Welcome to Oceans United, people. The place where we make you feel good about yourself. The place where we show unconditional love. Yes, we do. But we also have an obligation to tell you the truth. We also have the obligation as the church to actually stand on the righteousness of the Word of God that cannot be compromised, that cannot be challenged. Can be. But that's not going to go very far, is it? That's where we stand. Now wait, here's the best part. But when you are clothed in God's righteousness, not your own, when you are clothed in God's righteousness, you have an audience with the King. You have the attention of the King of Kings because you are clothed in His righteousness. In Romans 3:22, it's tying in, Paul is tying that in with Isaiah 6 right there. It says we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone. Everyone who believes, no matter who we are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It is available to you. It is available to everyone who would believe in Jesus Christ. The moment you believe in Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are standing on the righteousness of God. That is your only right standing. Because of this right standing with Him, can you have an audience with the King? You cannot approach the throne room of God without His righteousness. You cannot approach the presence of God and have a divine encounter with Him without the righteousness of God that is found in Jesus Christ. Not in any other name. Buddha will not get you there. Krishna, Vishnu, no other names can get you in the presence of God Almighty. You can have your burning bush experience all you want. But if you're not standing on the righteousness of God, you will not have an encounter with God. That's why Moses, the very first instruction that Moses was given when he saw the burning bush was to take off your sandals, take off your shoes. Because your sandals, they would represent who you are. When you take that off, you embrace who He is. You stand on His righteousness. Then you may approach the throne room of grace. I believe God is going to do something incredible. Incredible in your life. I believe God is going to do something incredible in this church. And I'm not just saying that because it sounds good to say it. It's not just a Sunday morning message where I just want to pump you up. I want to challenge you. I just called you filthy. I just called you sinful. I might add a few other things to it if you want me to. I have a few choice French words that I might add to what I just said. He just said, let's go. I'm here to challenge you that you need to not settle for where you are. You can't. You can't just settle for who you, for just where you are. God has got something much, much more ahead of you. He wants you to look up to Him. He wants you to follow Him. He wants you to experience Him. He wants you to allow Him to see you. He doesn't want you to hold back. He wants you to reveal who you are, the true you. Then He's able to work. Point number three. Allow Him to transform you. Allow Him to transform you. Being available to God starts when you allow Him to transform you. Isaiah 6, verse 6 and 7, he says, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, 'This, see, this coal has touched your lips.'" Now, this is the most important part. God sent an angel to transform something in the life of Isaiah. And the last part is, now your guilt is removed. Your sins are forgiven. God wanted Isaiah to experience what it would be like to have his guilt taken away from him. God wanted Isaiah to experience what it would be like to have no sin brought up in front of him. Now remember, Isaiah was still in an Old Testament, an Old Testament prophet. He was still under the blood of goats and bulls. He didn't have the blood of Jesus. He didn't have the blood of Jesus. He didn't have the covenant relationship that we have with Christ. He never took the communion like we are about to take right now. He couldn't seal what he knew. He couldn't seal that same experience that we just now read in Isaiah chapter 6. He couldn't seal that with the blood of Christ. He couldn't embrace the relationship of the cross, because that was before him. His righteousness was made available to him through the blood sacrifice of animals. He did not have the blood of a savior. Friends, we are in a much better place than Isaiah. We are in a much better place than him, because we've been received, we have received a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 9, verse 13 and 14, that passage there draws the comparison between the old and the new. The first part is talking here about the blood of animals that can only cleanse the outside. God can only cleanse what is on the outside, the outwardly. But here in verse 14, it says, how much more then will the blood of Christ cleanse our conscience so that we may serve the living God? Without the blood of Christ, there is no transformation. There is none. Without the blood of Christ, you would still be holding on to your guilt, your shame from the past. There is no hope for redemption. Without the blood of Christ, you cannot make yourself available to God. There is no other way to be available to God except through the blood of Jesus. No other way. No other way but the blood of Jesus. As we get ready to take communion, I'll have to go back to the gym. What Lindsay did not know is this. Back in January 2022, I'm getting myself prepared for what God has in store for us as a church for 2022. But this time I was praying. I've already prayed for the church. I've already prayed for you, your family, our church family as together. I prayed for all of you guys. But this time I was praying for myself. Now that's something that pastors, they struggle with. Praying for themselves. They tend to pray for everybody else but them. That morning I was praying for myself. And this was my prayer. Written in my journal, I wrote this. Lord, I want to be available to you. I want to be available to you. Isaiah 6, 8. Here I am, Lord, send me. I was taking my jar. My life. And I was placing it into the hands of the Father. I was excited . I was also nauseous at the same time. I don't know if you get there, you know, when you really have this, you feel like you're messed up, like, you know, you're having an encounter with God. I mean, you know, you look like a mess, like snot is coming down. And I had a little encounter here this morning. You know, I'm crying out to God. And I'm saying, Lord, here's my jaw. It's messed up. It's broken. But here it is. I took what I had. And I placed it in the hands of the Father. I was excited because I knew there was something new that God was going to do in me. But I was nauseous and nervous because I knew what was inside. when I placed it in the hand of the Father, it was like this. It was hidden. But now the light of God went in. I was nauseous because of what I saw in me. I was nauseous because my true self was revealed. Things that I probably don't want anybody to know about. My brokenness, my pain. The light of God was just shining through it and showing me the real me. But then I got excited again. It was like this wave type of experience where you get excited with what God is doing, and then you get nervous because He's taking you into a depth that it's going to cost you something. It's going to take you beyond the comfort of the shore. It's going to take you and take you deeper and deeper where you won't even feel the bottom. I was getting nauseous because I couldn't do it. Because of what I saw on the inside, I saw my frailty as a human being. I saw my frailty as a father, as a husband, as a pastor. I saw all of my sinful nature. See, when you pray that kind of dangerous prayer, Lord, I want to be available to you. You got to be ready for Him to just shine right through. You got to be ready for Him to just say, yes, I am going to allow my light to shine through you so that you can experience me. There is no other way. There is no other way to experience God and to be used by Him, to be available by Him, unless you go through it. He took me to 1 John 1:7. I'm going to try to keep it together. Because that ministered to me in a way that I didn't know that was even possible. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Then it says, the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. What God was revealing to me was like, son, there is no darkness that my light cannot penetrate. There is no sin, son, that my blood cannot purify. There is no darkness that my light cannot penetrate. And there is no sin that my blood cannot purify. So this is an exciting message. Because God is telling you right here, right now, that there is no darkness in your life that His light cannot shine through and light your path so that you can walk out of this darkness. His word is a light to your path. When you allow the word of God to reveal itself, it would light your path that you need to take. There is no sin, there is nothing, no faults that you have committed that the blood of Christ cannot purify. God is telling you and me this morning that, would you just come? Would you just come to me? Would you please stand? As we take communion this morning, I'm going to ask you the same question. Same question. Are you available? Are you available to Him? In Matthew 26, the disciples sat together with Jesus, and Jesus took the bread and He passed it among the disciples, and He said, "Take it and eat it, for this is my body." Would you take and eat? Then He gave thanks and offered them the cup and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which is sealed, the covenant between God and His people. It is poured out to forgive the sins of many." Would you take and drink? I believe we've answered the question. Are you available? Now, the way that I'm going to answer this question might be different from you. Might be different in the way that I'm going to respond, or you will respond. But I'm going to tell you my answer. And I hope your answer is the same. My answer is yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm available. Here's my jar. It stinks. There's a banana peel in it. It's starting to smell. But Lord, here it is. Here's my life. Do as you please. Send me wherever you may. I'll do it. And I'm praying that you will make yourself available to God as well. Let's pray. Father God, we give you praise. And we give you all the honor and all the glory this morning. We know that you're doing something miraculous in each and every one of our lives right now. Lord, don't stop. Don't stop. Whatever you're stirring in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirit right now, don't stop, Lord. Don't stop. Let your light keep shining forth inside of us. Reveal the real us. Let us experience you in a way that we've never experienced before. We allow you right now. We give you permission to see the real us, the real me, the real you. Lord, we give you permission to transform us as we embrace what you did on the cross for us. You've paved the way that we may have eternal life. You've given us your blood, your precious blood that separates us from our sins. Lord, we embrace that and we say yes to you right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Make sure you greet somebody. Say hi to somebody. This is your family. Amen. God bless you all. See you next week.